Chris Murphy, let's talk mental health reform. You have a bill. There'll be a hearing in the Senate on this issue for the first time since right after Sandy Hook in 2012. You have a mental health reform bill. How are you going to reform it?
Well, it's not easy because it's badly broken, but there are a number of ways to attack this system. And listen, we care about it in Connecticut, obviously because of what happened in Newtown, but you know the reality is that you know people who are mentally ill are much more likely to be the victims of violence than the perpetrators of it. So you know I'm always careful not to associate the mental health reform work I do simply with gun violence. But here's where you begin. You begin with a recognition that there just isn't enough capacity in the system. That as more and more people are seriously mentally ill, we've closed down 14% of the nation's inpatient beds. Since the beginning of the recession. So we put more money in for inpatient beds. But outpatient capacity is a problem as well. People have to wait for weeks and weeks, if not months, to just see an outpatient clinician. And so we increase reimbursements for those type of visits as well, so we get more providers offering outpatient services. Then we attack the issue of coordination. You've got this mental health system sitting wholly separate from the physical health system, and we provide incentives to bring those two together. And then lastly, we go
I'm sorry, Chris, give me an example of how you would bring the two, the physical and the mental together.
So here's an example. There's a rule that says you can't see a primary care physician and a mental health clinician on the same day, that Medicare won't reimburse and Medicaid won't reimburse for those two visits on the same day. So it's a disincentive for a doctor's office to have a social worker or a psychologist in the office, because they'd have to send the patient home and tell them to come back the next day in order to see that mental health clinician. So we change that rule. We just say, you can see a primary care doctor and you can see a mental health clinician on the same day, get both reimbursed. That will provide an incentive for them to be housed together, which will be much more efficient for the patient. And then the last thing we do is just, you know, continue to attack the discriminatory treatment that people with mental illness face. We have this law on the books that says insurance companies have to cover mental illness the same way they cover physical illness. They don't. And so this bill gives the federal government more powers to come after insurance companies that are, for instance, just erecting big bureaucratic hurdles to mental health care that they don't erect to physical health care.
Is there pushback on this?
Well, you know, listen, there's pushback because, you know, our bill, so I've introduced a big bipartisan bill. We have five Democrats, five Republicans. It's the sort of one big bipartisan bill. There's pushback because, you know, it is a big comprehensive bill, and, you know, this place sometimes likes to do things incrementally. There's also pushback because there is money in this bill, and we're saying, listen, you can't fix the mental health system without putting more money into it, without, you know, attracting more people, more clinicians, more doctors, more beds into the system. And, you know, this place, Washington, is just allergic to spending any new money. But, you know, I can't think of another area of need greater than the mental health system to spend new resources.
So let's assume you're successful, this bipartisan effort, and you pass it. What are its chances in the House?
Well, the genius of the bill that we've introduced is that it's a companion to a piece of legislation in the House. So I'm not interested in, you know, just putting a bill out there on mental health reform for the purposes of discussion. So we actually went to members of the House of Representatives who had been working for a couple of years on their own mental health reform bill, and we decided to do ours as a mirror to theirs. There are two bills that look very similar, one advancing rather quickly in the House and ours moving through the Senate. So this is mental health lobbyists and advocates in Washington will tell you that this is the most promising time for mental health reform in their entire careers, because we finally have two bills that look very similar, that have big, broad bipartisan support, that are moving in the House and the Senate. Now, nothing seems to happen in the House and the Senate these days, so I'm not pegging our chances at much better than 50-50, but it's the best chance we've had in a long time to do something on mental health reform.
Assuming that what we're hearing is so, and that Paul Ryan, who's a conservative fellow and a very smart fellow, becomes the speaker, does this help your agenda as a United States senator, as a Democrat, or does it scare you?
Well, you know, I mean, Paul's politics certainly scare me. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, really has made it his mission in life to kill the Medicare program, to turn it into one big voucher program to dramatically reduce benefits for poor seniors. So, you know, Paul Ryan and I are on different planets when it comes to our priorities. At the same time, you know, the way in which he became Speaker was basically to say to the hardline right-wingers that he is not going to let them hold the House hostage. Now, we'll see how long that lasts, but, you know, I'm glad that it's Paul Ryan rather than one of these, you know, nihilist Freedom Caucus, Tea Party right-wingers. Paul's politics are totally anathema to me, but maybe he'll be able to reach across the aisle and do some deals with Democrats in a way that some of these other potential aspirants to the job couldn't.
Now, I know you've been a huge proponent of rail safety, and I know you've been holding meetings and hearings in which people are talking about the terrible things that have happened to them. How is that going?
Well, we're making really slow progress because, you know, we know what we need to improve the safety of the rail lines in Connecticut, but we're just not doing it fast enough. It's something called positive train control, you know, which is fancy jargon for effectively automated piloting, so that, you know, if a conductor falls asleep at the wheel, there's an automated system to slow down the train as it comes around a curve. But it's still not installed in Connecticut, and there are a lot of people who want to postpone the deadline for installing it for years and years and years, and Senator Blumenthal and I are trying to get this installed as fast as possible, trying to allocate as much money as we can for it. But it's a heavy lift, you know, in a Congress where $50 billion is spent every year on roads and $1 billion is spent on rails. Our priorities are pretty screwed up, and it's sometimes hard to get money for big safety projects like this.
I only got a minute or two, so I just thought of something that's always interested me. You have two United States senators. You just mentioned you and Senator Blumenthal. How do you guys get along? How do you coordinate things?
We get along great, but it is certainly a weird phenomenon to get up every morning and have the exact same job as somebody else. One of the things we do is try to divvy up responsibilities. So, you know, Senator Blumenthal sits on the Judiciary Committee, Armed Services. I sit on Foreign Relations, the Health Care Committee, and the Budget Committee, the Appropriations Committee. So we very carefully have decided to sit on different committees so that we kind of cover the gamut of issues that matter to Connecticut. We decide what issues we're going to team up on, and we decide what issues we're going to do our own thing on. So, you know, on gun violence, you very rarely will see anything happening on that without Senator Blumenthal and I standing right next to each other. But, you know, he spends a little bit more time on consumer issues. I spend a little bit more time on something like mental health. So we get along great. You know, I looked up to him for years and years and years when he was the Attorney General and I was just coming up through politics. So to get to do the job with him every day is, you know, in a lot of ways a dream come true.
Well, always a great pleasure. Senator Chris Murphy, you really have given us a great deal of time the last couple of days, and we so appreciate it. And always in your debt. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thanks, Alan.